The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Unite us, O God, in acknowledging Jesus as the Christ. Give us strength to take up his cross and courage to lose our lives for his sake. For we ask this in his name, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Numbers. Du mont Or, ils partirent par le chemin de la mer Rouge pour contourner le pays d'Édom. Mais le peuple perdit courage en chemin. Le peuple se mit à critiquer Dieu et Moïse. Pourquoi nous avez-vous fait monter d'Égypte? Pour que nous mourrions dans le désert? Car il n'y a ici ni pain ni eau, et nous sommes dégoûtés par ce pain de misère. Alors le Seigneur envoya contre le peuple des serpents brûlants qui le mordirent. Et il mourut un grand nombre de gens en Israël. Le peuple vint trouver Moïse en disant, « Nous avons péché en critiquant le Seigneur et en te critiquant. Intercède auprès du Seigneur pour qu'il éloigne de nous les serpents. » Moïse intercéda pour le peuple et le Seigneur lui dit, fais faire un serpent brûlant et fixe-le à une arme. Quiconque aura été mordu et le regardera aura la vie sauve. Moïse fit un serpent d'airain et le fixa à une arme. Et lorsqu'un serpent mordait un homme, celui-ci regardait le serpent d'airain et il avait la vie sauve. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning, I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
You in the name of the Creator who loves us. Amen. We entered the gospel story in the middle of a story. And this morning at the early service, I told that whole story as a children's focus. And it culminates in the way I told the story with me putting a plastic snake up on a little tree from the story of Moses. Now, it's all set up because the 8 o'clock folks have a different pattern from you, but if you would like to see a children's story laid out on a table, it's just up there. But the context is Nicodemus, a leader among the temple folks, came to see Jesus at night, and they had a conversation. In that conversation, Jesus did some explaining, and Nicodemus did some not understanding, and then some understanding, and he's on his own journey of coming to understanding. Nicodemus will appear a few times in John's Gospel, including at Jesus' burial. But in the story that we are hearing in this gospel, Nicodemus has come to Jesus. A part of their conversation is that verse of the New Testament that is really the most famous one among Christians of many different church traditions. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But then they go on to this reference, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And they don't retell the story. It's clear they both know the story. They don't feel they have to. And so, to go back to that story, here's what's going on. The Israelites were in captivity as slaves in Egypt. Moses was called by God to bring them to freedom. And there were miracles that happened along the way, and they ended up in the wilderness for a long time, longer than they thought they should be there. And because it was a long time, they complained. So there are several stories of people complaining. First, they complained that they didn't have water. And there are a couple of versions of how that was answered. In one, Moses prayed that God would provide water, and water came from the rock. In another, Moses' patience left him, and he hit the rock with his staff, and water came. And that seemed to settle people down for a bit. And then they didn't have enough food, and God sent them manna. Manna is a word that means, what is this? And I suppose it's kind of like breadcrumbs, and they picked it. And that settled that complaint down. And then they didn't have meat, so God sent quails. And then we come to this reading. They don't like the taste of the manna. And not only has Moses' patience worn out, but so has God's. And so God sends poisonous snakes. And the poisonous snakes bite people. And some people die, and some people are sick, and they come to Moses to say, you know, we're really sorry. And this actually, I'm showing it as a pattern, because that is not even the end of the pattern. There is a pattern in the journey of God's people, where they fall away, and God warns them about it, but they fall away anyway, and then they come back, and God forgives them, and this pattern keeps going. And maybe it seems like a strange way to tell a story, but maybe it seems like a true way. I mean, it's kind of why we have the confession in our Sunday services, because we're like the tide too. We fall away, and then we need to come back. But anyways, there's this verse about, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And if we think about that, in the story with Moses, they look at the serpent and they're healed. And Jesus is referencing that, and now we're to figure out, how are we to think about the cross? And so today, we are observing a celebration called Holy Cross Day. And to give a little bit of what that's about, the calendar of the church year, I would break it up into two parts, roughly halves. One I would call the Christ cycle, and this is goes from Jesus' birth through to his death and resurrection, and then the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's the Christ journey cycle. And the other half is the stories of salvation as they unfold through the scriptures, which we read in an orderly way. And modern sensibilities about how you do church services are that you don't want to interrupt that flow of the storytelling in this part of the year so that we don't miss any of the developments. So you don't want to have too many theme Sundays because you'll miss the progression. And yet, interruptions do exist. Some of them are official, like All Saints Day. Some of them are unofficial. For example, Remembrance Sunday does not appear in the liturgy calendar, but we have chosen to make that something that is significant. And then there are some that we don't observe. And one of those is called the Annunciation. This is the angel Gabriel coming to Mary. And if you work back from December 25th, you know a pregnancy, right? That makes you March 25th. That is the Annunciation of the angel to Mary. And we almost never have it because we're in the middle of Lent. And we are keeping Lent, and so we just let that one go by. But the advantage of it is you can kind of talk about incarnation and not have it be on the day of Christmas Eve, when you're singing all the carols, and you know the atmosphere of Christmas is so beautiful. You can kind of have an intellectual approach to what is incarnation. And Holy Cross Day is that for Good Friday. In Holy Week, we are journeying with Christ, and our emotions are to be right with him. At that meal where he says, one of you will betray me, in the garden of the arrest, in how we tell of Jesus' death. Holy Cross Day gives us a separate time to kind of say, well, what's that about, this idea of the cross? How do we get our heads around it? And in fact, it's a day with a long history. It goes back to the time of the Emperor Constantine in the 300s. So Constantine was the emperor who converted to become Christian, became the protector of Christians, and he decided that there should be a great church in Jerusalem. So he sent his mother, Helena, to Jerusalem to figure out where this great church would be, and she went looking for Golgotha, because they should build a church of the resurrection where Golgotha was. And I learned on my trip to Israel last year that it actually has good documentation of where it would be, because in that time of the early church, people would go to where Jesus had died to pray. And as the story goes, in a time of persecution, the Roman Empire knew that, so they built a temple to Jupiter on that spot. So, you know, it's credible that Helena went to the ruins of the Temple of Jupiter and said, here's where it is, and they removed those and they built their Church of the Resurrection. And in the process of excavating, they found a piece of wood that they said, this is the true cross. So they took that piece of wood and they put it up by the altar in their new Church of the Resurrection, which they dedicated on September 14th in the year 335. And so Holy Cross Day, we can say, goes back to the year 335. And this idea that wood of the cross would be there and that somehow this would be comforting and important goes back to these readings that we just had. John 3, where Jesus is saying, just as Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And when the serpent is lifted on the pole, the people are healed. So there's a sense of, if we have the cross with us, if we're close to it, if we can see it, there's healing for people. Now, piety and the worldview, you know, we've had 2,000 years of the way people think, the way people respond. Over that time, lots of churches got in the act. They all had a piece of the true cross. And there was a critique of that. But it was a worldview that people wanted to be close to what happened. This way of thinking continues among Jews. They go to the Western Wall. To be close to where it happened is a healing thing that helps people have their sense of identity, to have a focus for their prayers. Was that intended by this passage? Well, it's hard to say what passages intend. They just live with us. In this story, it seems to be a prediction of Jesus' passion. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. We each have our own way of connecting with the cross, and maybe you have one. Maybe you have a cross that you wear. There was a time where I really wanted to have a cross. I was a student with not very much money, and I would go looking at the crosses. And there's the empty one. There's the one with Jesus on it. That's the crucifixion. It's called a crucifix. There's another one that's called Christus Rex, Christ the King. And Christ is looking happy on this cross. His arms are out. He's victorious. And then the one that I ended up buying after I was saved for this was, it had the vine and branches. I am the vine, you are the branches, all interspersed through the silver. And it gave me that sense of connected to something. Now, I don't wear that cross that much, but what I see in that is we each have our way of connecting to this. Maybe you need a physical something to feel like you're close. Maybe you need a symbol, or maybe you need to come back to the story again and again, and that's your way of being close to the cross. Another approach goes to something I'm going to call Anglican method. So in confirmation classes, we teach that the authorities are scripture, tradition, and reason. And the tradition one means I'm going to take the humble approach. I'm not the originator of every brilliant thought or any brilliant thoughts. There have been great people of faith who have gone before me, and I should learn from what they have to say as well. So people have been preaching about Holy Cross since 335, and I wanted to give you two examples of things that they've said. So Theodore of Studios was an abbot in Constantinople. He lived from 759 to 826, and he said that the cross is a precious gift to contemplate, and unlike the tree in paradise, this tree brings life. So he saw the Adam and Eve story in Genesis as a tree of mixed story, because there was a curse and a blessing, and the cross is the tree that brings life. Moving into a more recent time, an Anglican priest from the year 1674, Thomas Traherne, left behind an unpublished manuscript that people found and later published. And he said this about the cross. The cross is the abyss of wonders, the center of desires, the school of virtues, the house of wisdom, the throne of love, the theater of joys, and the place of sorrows. It is the root of happiness and the gate of heaven. And in his conclusion, he said, the cross is our Jacob's ladder by which we climb and ascend. So over time, the cross has had many approaches. It's a symbol of a way of life. It's a way of life that we retell in our worship over the course of the year. You're invited into the cross as a way of being, as a method of life's journey. We do it also on that particular day, Good Friday. There's a famous way of observing Good Friday called the Seven Last Words, where in music we recall what Jesus said from the cross. And so there's, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. But over the course of the year, maybe you could say we live a cross-shaped life. We have our own approach to suffering because we all have our own sufferings, our own kind of trials. And we see in Jesus that the suffering was not the end. There's resurrection, there's glorification. We may differ in our details, but we are on a journey of healing. We bring our passions and what we care most about. We bring the suffering of others and ourselves as their intercessors. And we are each on our own personal Jacob's ladder in how we are living and in how we are healed. In a way, you could say, whatever snake venom you have in your own outlook, the cross is there to heal it. We're to be made whole because God loves us.
Sacred Circle events, and the Ministry of Reconciliation. In our diocese, we pray for St. Mary's Russell and all who minister there. Gracious God, may your Spirit give strength to all your people as they work and witness in your world. Unite us in your truth and love, and help us to show your love to others. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray for all people, for places where there is war or famine. Restore to new life the places in this world that suffer from conflict and are deaf to the message of peace. Bring harmony where there is strife between nations, in all places of conflict, within our nation, in our communities, and in our homes, so that there will be safety, freedom, and justice for everyone. We pray for our communities around the world who are threatened by the effects of climate change. May those who lead the nations of the world be given wisdom. We lift up Charles, our King, Justin, our Prime Minister, Mark and Mon, our local mayors, and all in authority. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We pray for our community and for all who live and work in this area. We ask God to watch over those who struggle to pay rent or a mortgage, those who have no home. We give thanks to God for all those who serve in our community in so many ways. Today we remember especially the Centertown Church's Social Action Committee. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We pray for those in need, for sick people, for those in hospital, those dealing with addiction, and for those with other challenges. God, give your strength and healing to all those who are sad, lonely, or in distress, and bless all those who try to help them. We pray for Ted, Diana, Sarah, Marcella, Pat, and William. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We remember all those who have died, remembering especially Sarah Whitehead. God of hope, we thank you that not even death can separate us from your love. And we pray for all who mourn, that they may feel your care for them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Loving God, you create us by your power, and you redeem us by your love. Guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, so that we may be faithful stewards of what has been entrusted to us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Esprit Saint, descende sur vous, demeure parmi vous.